A reading from the Gospel of John, verse 6 through 13. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was a true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God.
Amen. Thank you, John, for reading the Word of God. We do welcome you this morning, and we look out, and it's good to have you here today. Holidays are a very special time, but and we're looking, and folks are beginning to come back. So it's good to see you, and we're glad to have you here today. Let's bow our heads. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We need his help as we study. We say that often. We mean it to the bottom of our heart, how we need the help of the Holy Spirit as we open up the Word of God. Let's do that together now. Let's pray, and let's ask for his help. Father, we are gathered here today as your people, and we know it's by your grace and your great mercy that you've brought us together today. And Lord, we are happy, we rejoice, we're glad about that as we see people we love, people that we serve, people that desire to be here, Lord. We're grateful, thankful that this has been made possible by the sacrifice, the blood, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We can now worship you in spirit and truth. Thank you, God, for the truth we've heard this morning, for the songs we've sung, for the opportunity just to lift our voices in praise and worship. We're grateful. God, help us now as we open up the Scripture. God, help us to realize this is your Word. This is how you speak to us. And God, as you speak to us this morning, may our ears be open. May the ears of our hearts be open. And may we receive with joy and gladness and understanding through the power of the Spirit your word this day, that we might be changed. God, we desire this change. Oh God, we desire this transformation that will take place in our lives. Help us, O God, we pray. May you be glorified and honored. May you be exalted, dear God, with our thoughts, with our desires, with the very intents of our heart as we listen to your word and as you talk to us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 As we begin this new year, let's make sure, even as we start, that we know our direction in this preaching and teaching. We've been looking at some time at what we have called foundations for living. And we identify this series of teaching as rock solid, fundamental truths that every Christian must wrap their lives around to live for the glory of God. And this study is taking us in a few different directions. So we're looking now at the biblical teaching of Jesus. Now if you think about it, this is quite a task, because all the Scripture in some way points to Jesus. Jesus reveals himself in his Word. The Word of God teaches about Jesus. The Word of God declares Jesus. And so when we talk about teaching or preaching on the doctrine of Jesus, my, the task is huge. And therefore, we have to use some wisdom and focus our attention on certain areas of Scripture. We've decided to do that. Our focus will come to two books of the Bible. We'll look first of all at this book of the Bible that we call the Gospel of John, and we'll look at specific writings from the Apostle John on who Jesus is and what Jesus did and why Jesus came. And then when that's finished, we'll then switch to the Old Testament and we'll look at some specific writings of that Old Testament prophet called Isaiah. And we'll see what Isaiah has to say about Jesus. And therefore, we'll do it in this way because we could pick certain areas of the Bible and we could focus on the life of Jesus or the teaching of Jesus or the death of Jesus or the miracles of Jesus. We could do that and we could give us a glimpse and a view of who Jesus is. But what better way than to look at specific Scripture as God has given it? And to work our way through specific Scripture, a passage or chapters that teach us about Jesus and look at that as God has given that to us. And that's what we'll do in the coming weeks. So our examination, first of all, goes to the Gospel of John. And for a few weeks now, we've been looking at John chapter 1. Now keep in mind that John writes, and he has a specific purpose in mind. And so if you're in John chapter 1, go again to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and look with me at verse 31. The reason I've mentioned this several times is that we need to know the purpose. We need to know why John writes. And so when we look at a passage, it's good to keep this in our mind. This is why John is giving us this word through the Holy Spirit. John chapter 20, verse 31, John says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." So folks, John's purpose then becomes our purpose. We study the words of John concerning Jesus so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. So with that purpose then in mind, I'd like to begin this morning. This is the second Sunday of 2014 with this question. Are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? Now, it's a huge question, isn't it? It's a serious question. It's a life-changing, eternal question. It's a question that every one of us should and can answer today. Are you a child of God? So what's your answer? Are you a child of God? Let's allow now the Apostle John to help us answer that question as John continues to give us truth about Jesus Christ. We have a question before us. John will answer that question. Now look with me at John chapter 1, and let's focus now on verses 9 through 13. Are you a child of God? That's the question before us. John chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. I'd like to read it from the English Standard Version. Listen to what it says. "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So we see from the words of the Apostle John here that the true light, who we know is Jesus Christ, that true light that sheds light on everyone, has come into the world. When we think about the light and we think about this light who is Jesus Christ, we don't have to be perplexed. We don't have to wonder if that light has shone or if that light has come. John says that light has come into the world. And he came into the world that he made. Look at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Folks, that means that Iowa City and Cedar Rapids and West Branch and Lone Tree and all the towns and all the cities and everyone in them, including you and me, everyone here today, everyone was made through him. Look at verse 3. John says, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, is that clear enough? As we look at verse 10, we look at verse 3, all things were made through him. Therefore, when he came into the world, he came to his own. See, this is what John means here. He came to his own. Verse 11 says, he came to his own. So he came to what belongs to him by right of creation. He came to his own possession. He came to his own creation. But look at verse 11. It also says, his own people did not receive him. So he came to Judea, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Nazareth, and he was not received. He came to Rome, to Athens, to Cyprus, to Corinth, to Macedonia, and he was not received. He has come to Iowa City, to Cedar Rapids, to all those places around and in between, and they received him not. Even with the truth of Christmas and the birth of Jesus Christ still fresh in our minds, one writer said this. He said, they rejected him in their department stores with season's greetings instead of Christmas. They rejected him in their restaurants with happy holidays instead of Christmas. They rejected him in their hospital foyers with Noel instead of Christmas. And folks, it's true. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He's been rejected in the money and the marketing exploitation of his birthday. He's been rejected with 1,000 knickknacks and songs and special TV programs and parties and celebrations and festivals. He's been rejected in stripped-down carols and secular tunes and Christless school plays and public speeches that say nothing about him. He came to his own. His own, those who belong to him, those who are his possession, he came to his own, and they did not receive him. Hold your place and turn to John chapter 3. This was a verse we had on the screen earlier. We looked at it last week. This is Jesus speaking. John chapter 3, and look at verses 19 and 20. As you're turning there, think about it. He's been rejected. Rejected by those who belong to him. Rejected in families. Rejected in marriages. Rejected in schools. Rejected in churches. Rejected in places of work. In government. In society. In culture. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Jesus says in John chapter 3, verse 19, he says, and this is the judgment. Don't let that pass too quickly. This is the judgment. In other words, this is the basis of judgment. This is why people will stand before God. This is the basis of judgment. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, And people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Folks, the light came to his own, and his own were in love with the darkness. And therefore they did not receive the light. They rejected the light. His own did not receive him. Now look at verse 12. John chapter 1 verse 12. Because John says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." We look at that statement and it becomes very clear to us that those who reject the light are not the children of God. There are those who receive and accept the light. There are those who reject the light. And those who reject the light are not the children of God. In other words, let me say it another way. God is not everyone's father. Amen. Now there is a view around, there's a view worldwide. There's a prominent attitude and an acceptance that God is everyone's father, but yet that is not true. God is related to everyone through creation. He is everyone's creator. He created everyone, and everyone belongs to Him through creation. That's the relationship. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and look at verse 42. John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus here is speaking to Jewish religious leaders. And he says to them, John writes, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but He sent me." You see, folks, God is not everyone's Father. And the test of who your Father is whether you love His Son. And so even this morning, we can ask ourselves this, is God my Father? And we follow up that question is with this, do I love His Son? And if you're here this morning and you do not love His Son, if you do not love Jesus Christ, then God is not your Father. Oh, the words of Jesus, they're so plain and they're so clear. So that's the test. Do you love Jesus? Do you love the Son of God? If God is your Father, you will love Jesus. Now already, if you're listening by the Spirit of God, your mind and your heart should be working now. Do I love God? Do I belong to God? Is God my Father? Do I love Jesus? What's that mean? What's that look like? Do I have that love? John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 are very important because they tell us how we might become children of God. And that's the question, that's the big question before us. Am I a child of God? And how can I become a child of God? Here's another way to say it. Well, not everyone is a child of God. Am I? Say that to yourself. Not everyone is a child of God. Am I a child of God? Now let's understand the importance of this question. So go back to John chapter 8. Go back to John chapter 8. Because Jesus, again, he says something here that will help our understanding. John chapter 8, look at verses 34 to 36. John 8, 34 to 36. Jesus answered them. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Now let's stop there for a moment. Let's understand what Jesus is saying. In the tense that he uses, the present tense, everyone who continues in sin, everyone who lives in sin, everyone who is committed to sin, everyone whose life is characterized by sin, that's that present tense, this continuing thing. Everyone who lives in sin, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin, Jesus says. And he says the slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son, look at that, capital S, if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So we back from that and we say to ourselves, well, this then is pretty plain, because that means that either I'm a slave to sin or I'm a child of God. A slave to sin or a child of God. And if we will not be children, then we will be slaves. And Jesus says here that the slave does not remain in the house forever, the children do. Now, another way to say that is this, that the children have eternal life with God the Father forever, and the slaves will not have that life and will be separated from God forever. And so our question then is, well, not everyone is a child of God, am I? We could change that, or another way to say it is this, not everyone will have eternal life, will I? Not everyone will remain in the house forever, will I? Slaves will not, sons will. Turn to Romans chapter 8, and look at verses 16 and 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's a wonderful blessing, folks, that the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Oh, wow. Heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So if you are a child of God, then you've become an heir of all that God owns. Folks, all that God has is your inheritance. And in the resurrection, in that future day, everything that exists will be yours. And you will be Christ's, and Christ will be God's. Amazing truth. God will care for you forever. You will be infinitely happy in His presence. But oh, folks, if you are not a child of God, you see, that's how God treats His children. But if you're not a child of God, there will only be judgment, condemnation. You see, there'll be no slaves in the age to come, only children, only sons. The slaves do not remain in the house forever, but judgment and condemnation and eternal punishment is the inheritance of the slave. Are you a child of God? It's an important question. It's a question that we should not only ask at the beginning of a year, but we should ask ourselves. We should know the answer. Am I a child of God? Will I have eternal? Not everyone will have eternal life, will I? God is not everyone's father. Am I His child? That brings us then to verses 12 and 13. Look carefully at verse 12. Because here in verse 12, I believe we find the answer to that question. Well, how do I become a child of God? I want you to notice that John gives us two actions here for becoming a child of God. He says it in two ways. He says, but to all who received Him, who is the Him? The Him would be the light. And we know further in the passage that the Him is the Word, or previously in the passage, and then later in the passage that the Him is Jesus Christ. But to all who received Him, the light, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. So first of all, do you see it? John says there must be a receiving of Jesus. Receiving Jesus then means that when Jesus offers Himself to you, that you welcome Him for who He is. That's what receiving means. Actually, this word was often used to describe a welcome to a visitor in your home. And so when Jesus offers himself to you, you welcome him. You receive him. It's what happens when someone knocks at your door and you open the door and you invite them in. Now, when you invite someone into your house, you don't stick them in the basement. And you don't put them in a closet. You don't ignore them. You don't neglect them. You don't pay no attention to them. But you receive them and you accept them and you welcome them for who they are. So there is a welcoming and a submitting personal relationship. Folks, when you receive Jesus, you welcome Him as God and Savior. You welcome His authority. You welcome His salvation. And as you get to know Jesus, you will continue to welcome Him. And folks, this is not a peaceful coexistence with Jesus who makes no claims. He's not like someone who would stay in your house as long as they don't play their music too loud or they don't get crumbs on the carpet. You see, receiving Jesus is receiving Him for who He is. And as you get to know Him, you will welcome His leadership and provision and counsel and protection and authority. Receiving Jesus means that you take Him into your life, your home, your school, your work, your marriage, your purpose in life, and you do it submissively in a personal way for who He really is. That's receiving Jesus Christ, the light of the world. But then there's a second condition. John says that there must be a believing in His name. Now this word believe, even as we've learned earlier, as we touched on in our worship, this word believe implies a personal trust. It's an active commitment of trust to a person. It's not just an intellectual agreement with certain facts or truths, but it's very personal. It's dependent. It's committed. What does believing in the name of Jesus mean? Go back to John chapter 3, verse 18. Again, Jesus says, whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So believing in the name of Jesus is the same thing as believing in Jesus. Jesus uses it the same in this passage. The name of Jesus or the name of someone emphasizes the full stature, the full dignity and authority and the attributes of that person. So believing in the name of Jesus is a personal trust in the person of Jesus for who He is. And that's why it's so important that we teach and we tell and we share who Jesus is. You see, you can share Jesus. And you know, folks, people have all kinds of ideas on who Jesus is. But we have to share the Jesus of the Bible. We have to share Jesus as He is revealed in the Word of God. So believing in the name of Jesus is a personal trust in the person of Jesus for who He is. Now, let's try to understand this. Let's bring this together in our minds as we think about this word believe. Because believing is not just an agreement with facts about a person, but it's a trust, a dependence, a giving of oneself in complete reliance to a person. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Jesus will help us here. John chapter 5. Look at verses 43 and 44. John chapter 5, 43 and 44. I want you to see here that the words receive and believe are used together in these verses, just like they are in John 1:12. Jesus says this. He says, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. Now let's think about this. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not welcome me for who I am. You do not receive me for who I am. He then says, if another comes in His own name, you will receive him. You will welcome someone else. You will receive them for who they are. Then look what he says. He says, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Now there's truth here that will help us. First of all, this believing in Jesus is very God-centered. It's Jesus-centered. And folks, it's contrary to pride. It's contrary to self-exaltation. It involves a deep humbling. Why? Because it seeks the glory of God and not the glory of men. You see, they were receiving others. They were receiving men, but they would not receive the God-man, Jesus Christ. So their issue was with God and with the God-man, Jesus Christ. Turn to John chapter 6 and look at verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35. Again, we see the words of Jesus. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. There it is again. Jesus is helping us understand this word believe, what it means. And Jesus shows us here that believing in Him is coming to Him as the only one who can satisfy our deepest needs. We come to the one who can help us. We come to the one who can provide those needs. He's the food that feeds the hunger of your soul. And believing in Him then is coming to Him as the only one who can satisfy those needs. The only one. He's the bread of life. He satisfies our hunger. He satisfies our thirst. Look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 46. And so Jesus says here, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So again, he uses the word believe, and he helps us understand. Whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So folks, this believing then is life-changing. It involves a work in our lives that changes our life and changes our direction and changes the way that we live, because we no longer desire to live in darkness. Whoever believes in me should not abide, should not dwell, should not continue to live in darkness. And so we go back to John chapter 1, verse 12, and I would paraphrase John's words like this, based on what we've looked at. But to all who welcome Jesus into their lives for who He really is, and who humble themselves and trust in Him as the only one who can satisfy their deepest needs and change their lives, to them, to those people, He gave the right to become children of God. Folks, that's how we become a child of God. John says it so clearly, plainly. We understand it through the words of Jesus. But look at verse 13. Because John says, talking about the children of God, he says that they were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, the best way that we can summarize this statement is simply this: we can't save ourselves. We don't save ourselves. Folks, the heart of the gospel is in this little phrase, but of God. But of God. You see, salvation is of the Lord. It's a free gift. It's totally free, totally of grace. Now, someone might say, but don't I have a part in salvation? And I would say, yes, you do. Your part is to be hopelessly lost. And God will save you. We are hopelessly lost. We're blind. We're spiritually dead. We're hopeless. We're helpless. Folks, salvation is the work of God from first to last. Therefore, God gets all the credit. I'll try to be simple and plain. Apart from God, we are spiritually dead. We're sinners, all of us. And we need two things if we're to be children of God and inherit eternal life. We need to be born, and we need to have spiritual life. And according to John chapter 1, verse 13, that's what God does without any help from us. He begets us. He causes us to be born. He gives us spiritual life. Folks, we are born of God by a free act of His sovereign grace. John says, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now think about this, because the world's hatred of God and the world's rejection of Jesus Christ in no way overrules or frustrates God's plan. God will bring people to salvation. God will turn enemies into children. And God will bring people from darkness to light. Now, people cannot be saved until they receive and believe in Jesus Christ. But working in and through and over these dead and blind sinners is the sovereign grace of God. God works by His grace. People receive and believe in Jesus, and their sins are forgiven, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ is given, and they are given the right, the authority, to become children of God. And folks, this right is not obtained by any ethnic heritage. John says, not of blood. This right is not obtained through any personal desire or work, John says, nor the will of the flesh. This right is not obtained through any man-made system or religion, John says, nor of the will of man, but John simply says, but of God. It is the sovereign grace of God. And folks, because we all bear the guilt of unbelief and sin, then John makes it very clear, crystal clear, that this salvation, this receiving or believing in Jesus Christ, is impossible for any sinner, but God, by His grace, must grant the power, the light, and the life to the lost and blind, spiritually dead sinner. And folks, when God gives this new birth and this new life by His grace and mercy, He gives those whom He grants the right to be children of God with a standing as a child of God, and all the rights and all the authority as the children of God now belong to us through Jesus Christ. It's an amazing statement about salvation. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is a great salvation, folks. This is a salvation that finds its basis and foundation in God Himself. It is full, it is free, it corresponds to our exact need and condition. I ask you again this morning, are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? If your answer is yes, then you praise God. You thank God. You give glory to God for His marvelous, wonderful, incomprehensible mercy and grace that's worked in you. But if your answer is no, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus Christ. Receive Him as He really is. Believe in Him as the only all-satisfying Savior, and move from the darkness of sin to the light of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Enough said. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, how we desperately need truth about Jesus. Even we who, by your grace, have been your children for a time, God, we need truth about Jesus. I pray, Father, this morning that you will take your word. We know that there is power in your word, that you, by the Holy Spirit today, will work in the hearts of we who are gathered. Father, there may be someone here today who cannot say yes to that question, am I a child of God? Father, I pray in your great mercy that you will give light to those who are blind. And Father, you will give life to those who are dead. God, work in the hearts of people by your grace this day. Father, we who have received this light and life, oh God, Father, draw us close to yourself. Help us to see Jesus more clearly, to know more of Jesus, so that we can rightly and plainly declare the light of the world to the lost of the world. Help us, Father, we pray. We commit this time to you, thanking you for it, trusting in your faithful work in the lives of people. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you. Amen. Amen.